Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
We encourage young people in the rising generation to see their own potential to build great spiritual strength.
Truly, my dear young friends, you are a chosen generation. I hope you will never forget it. I hope you will never take it for granted.
It is not by chance that you have been reserved to come to earth in this last dispensation of the fullness of times. Your birth has been foreordained in the eternities. You are youth of a noble birthright.
Thank you for joining us on For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, the media channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Ryan Jenkins, and today we'll be talking about dress and appearance. Several years ago, I taught ninth grade seminary. In one of my classes, I had a young woman who was very negative on just about everything. She was cold, crude, and rude to just about everyone. And she was very vocal, just about all the time. Her dress and appearance were typically not very feminine. It was discouraging because you could not only feel the gloomy and disheartening spirit in the young woman, you could in large measure see it. About 3 years after teaching this young woman, I was at a grocery store in which I didn't normally shop. My father was with me and we were having a conversation as we waited to purchase our items. When I made eye contact with the employee working the cash register, I was startled. It was this young woman I have described. I was startled because of what I saw and instantly felt. Calling her by name, I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "What do you mean, Brother Jenkins? I'm working." I said, No. You never smiled like that while you were in my class, and you weren't happy, and now you're full of light and radiate a beautiful countenance." She didn't respond right away. I asked again, "What are you doing?" Now, remember, we're in a grocery store checkout line, and people are behind us. And I wasn't speaking in a temple voice either. In fact, my father even said, "Son, what are you doing?" Then this young lady responded with a smile that expressed innocence and virtue. "Brother Jenkins," she said, "I'm keeping the commandments and living the standards." I couldn't help blurting out, "Yes, you are. It's obvious. Keep it up." I told my father as we left the store, "A few years ago, I would have warned every boy in the school to stay away from her. But today, I would tell all of them to run to her. She was dressed like and had the appearance of a modest and virtuous daughter of God. She had put her trust in Heavenly Father and His commandments. She exemplified goodness and obedience, and it was remarkably noticeable and contagious." We are fortunate to have knowledge of the commandments and standards. We are blessed when we honorably live them. The Lord has inspired many people over many generations to preserve the laws of God. Many good people seek them and would live them if informed and invited. Let me illustrate this before talking more about dress and appearance. Consider the following thought and story told in a Priesthood General Conference session by Elder Earl C. Tingey, then a member of the Presidency of the 70. Now, I'm going to interrupt the story to ask you some questions, so pay close attention. Consider what you would do if you found yourself in Elder Tingey's situation.
A dozen years ago, in one of the countries of Africa, we had faithful members of the church who had been meeting in their homes for several years. I went to that country to see if we could receive permission from the government to bring in missionaries and establish the church. I met with a high-ranking government minister. He gave me 20 minutes to explain our position.
What would you say if you had 20 minutes to explain the church to a foreign minister? Would you share some scriptures? Talk about the church's humanitarian efforts? Tell him Joseph Smith's first vision? Speak of the importance of families? Maybe read the articles of faith to the minister? Perhaps you are wondering, could I even talk about the church for 20 minutes? Let's continue with Elder Tingey's story to see how it unfolded for him after he had 20 minutes to explain the church's position.
When I finished, he said, "I do not see where anything you have told me is any different from that which is currently available in our country. I see no reason to approve your request to bring missionaries into our country." He stood up to usher me out of his office. I was panic-stricken. I had failed. In a moment, our meeting would be over. What could I do? I offered a silent prayer. And then I had an inspired thought. I said to the minister, "Sir, if you will give me 5 more minutes, I would like to share one other thought with you, then I will leave." He kindly consented.
Okay, let's imagine in your interview with him, you tried the Articles of Faith, spoke of the good intentions of the church's humanitarian efforts. Perhaps you spoke of the scriptures and the prophets and the importance of family, yet he still wanted to dismiss you. But the minister agreed to give you 5 more minutes. What would you say now? Do you bear testimony? Beg? Tell him that you can't fail? President Monson is back in Salt Lake City waiting for you to return and report? Do you say a silent prayer as well? Do you invite him to General Conference to hear and meet with modern prophets and apostles? What do you say in 5 minutes that will convince this minister that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will bless his nation? Let's listen to what Elder Tingey did.
I reached for my wallet, and I removed this small For the Strength of Youth booklet, which I have always carried. I said, "This is a little book of standards we give all of the youth of our church." I then read some of the standards I have mentioned tonight. When I finished, he said, "You mean to tell me you expect the youth of your church to live these standards?" "Yes," I replied, "and they do." "That is amazing," he said. "Could you send me some of those booklets so that I could distribute them to the youth of my church?" I replied, "Yes," and I did. Several months later, we received official approval from the government of that country to come and establish the church. Young men, these standards you are privileged to keep are truly a pearl of great price. The world does not understand them. Many good people seek them. You have them.
I love that last statement. The world does not understand them. Many good people seek them. You have them. Because we have them, maybe we should review the prophet Jacob's warning. Woe unto him that has the law given, yea, that has all the commandments of God, like unto us, and that transgresseth them, and that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. Because we have them, we live them and make efforts to share them. This is why we try to get permission to go into nations, so we can share the standards and share the restored gospel and share the blessings of the temple. These standards are approved by God. They prepare us to meet him. And so it is vital that we prepare ourselves, our families, and others for eternal life with Father in heaven. You can trust the standards put forth by modern prophets. You can live them and share them with others. They are for everyone's eternal benefit. Be grateful for those who sustain and defend these standards and the commandments of God. Be grateful that there are those who urge you to keep them with exactness. They have your eternal interest in mind. As I mentioned earlier, one standard I feel to emphasize today is dress and appearance. Elder Robert T. Hales used this analogy, quote, "Imagine that you are watching a play. An actor comes on stage dressed as a clown, but starts to play the serious part of the lead. You might react by thinking that this is inappropriate. There must be some mistake in the costuming or casting. Now think of how inappropriate it is to go out into the world or come to church dressed in clothes that do not represent who you really are in spirit. Our outward appearance and behavior give a message. What message are we sending? Does it reflect that we are children of God?" Close quote. Many fail to understand simple doctrines regarding who they are. Let's reflect upon the following doctrines and how they influence children of our Father in heaven to choose the right. Genesis 1:27 states, "God created man in his own image." In the Doctrine and Covenants we learn, "The spirit and the body are the soul of man. For man is spirit, the elements are eternal, and the spirit and element, inseparably connected, receive a fullness of joy. The elements are the tabernacle of God, yea, man is the tabernacle of God, even temples. And whatsoever temple is defiled, God shall destroy that temple." And from the New Testament we learn, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I like this statement from Elder Robert D. Hales as well. For me, it is a strong complement to the scriptures I just quoted. It also brings the importance of dress and appearance into eternal perspective. Quote, our bodies are the means by which we can bring souls from the presence of God to their mortal state. When we recognize our bodies as the gifts they are, and when we understand the missions they help us fulfill, we protect and honor them by how we act and dress. Close quote. Do you appreciate your body as a gift from God? Have you ever made the connection of dress and appearance to honoring your responsibility to bring children into their mortal state under the marriage covenant? Not many, very few do. We live in a world saturated with an emphasis on physical image, with an emphasis on getting attention, with an emphasis on popularity and trend setting. Much of this comes with people desecrating their body and bruising their spirit. Remember, the spirit and the body are the soul of man. Elder Robert D. Hales also taught, quote, when we dress for attention, we are not inviting the spirit to be with us. We act differently when we are dressed for the world's attention. Close quote. When President Boyd K. Packer became a general authority, he had a defining moment. I believe the principle he learned early in his ministry is a key point for all of us to learn and understand when it comes to dress and appearance. See if you can identify the principle he learned from the organist in the following story.
46 years ago, I was called as an assistant to the Quorum of the Twelve, and for the first time, I came to this pulpit. I was 37 years old. I found myself standing among the venerable and wise prophets and apostles, whose names, as the song proclaims, we all revere. I felt how keenly inadequate I was. About that time, here in the tabernacle, I had a defining experience. It gave me assurance and courage. In those days, primary conference was held here before the April conference. I came through a south door as the opening session was being sung, the opening song was being sung, by a large choir of primary children. Sister Lou S. Grosbeck of the Primary General Board was leading them. They sang, reverently, quietly, lovingly we think of thee, reverently, quietly, softly sing our melody, reverently, quietly, humbly now we pray, let thy Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts today. As the children sang quietly, the organist, who understood that excellence does not call attention to itself, did not play a solo as while they sang. He skillfully, almost invisibly, blended the young voices into a melody of inspiration, of revelation. That was the defining moment. It fixed deeply and permanently in my soul that which I most needed to sustain me in the years to follow.
Did you identify a helpful principle? What was the defining moment that has sustained him throughout the years as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles? Excellence does not call attention to itself. President Packer learned this principle by watching a wise organist. In one of the world's most powerful organs, this organist made sure the children's choir was heard and appreciated. Excellence does not call attention to itself. When it comes to dress and appearance, excellence isn't about vain image, getting attention, popularity, or trend setting. Excellence in dress and appearance is showing the Lord that you understand, love, and desire to live according to true doctrine. Defilement of the body comes in a multitude of forms. I recently heard Elder Dallin H. Oaks emphasize two verses of Scripture to an audience of youth. The first one is found in Leviticus 19:28, and it reads, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. When you hear this verse, you might instantly think of someone who has tattooed or excessively pierced his or her body. This ugly pandemic has spread like wildfire in the last few years. But before it did, President Gordon B. Hinckley warned and pleaded with youth not to go that route. The other verse Elder Oaks shared with his audience of youth was also found in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Pretty relevant verse for our day, isn't it? Goes to show you Moses' day was a lot like ours. Satan has wanted, from the very beginning, to confuse God's children with regards to their gender and whose image they are created in. Your image, your gender, is no mistake. Remember what we learned from the family, a proclamation to the world. Gender is an essential characteristic of individual premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. You should ask yourself, in this day when guys like to wear girl jeans, when girls like to wear tight shirts that cover the body and call it modesty, in a day when brand names are plastered on articles of clothing in inappropriate places, in a day when casual dress and beach attire are sometimes apparent in settings of worship, you should ask yourself where you stand with respect to dress and appearance. Are you avoiding extreme clothing and hairstyles? By the way, what we're talking about isn't dress and appearance in public only, but at home, when parents and brothers and sisters are around. Is there an appropriate level of virtue in your walk within your own home? Your body is God's sacred creation. You are created in His own image. He has asked you to glorify Him in spirit and body. I would like to retell a story of some junior high boys who started a Girl Watchers Club. Now, young women, it's not what you think. Hear the story out before you make a judgment. The story comes from Elder Mark E. Peterson's book, Drugs, Drinks, and Morals. It comes from the 1960s, but is ever relevant today. Elder Peterson wrote, "There is a Girl Watchers Club at Lakeside Junior High in San Diego. It has a membership of 39 boys. Near the close of last semester of school, the club published and distributed to all girls on campus the following proclamation. We, the boys of the Girl Watchers Club, have been watching girls for the past 4 weeks. Some of what we have observed has pleased us, but much of what we have seen displeased, disgusted, and repulsed us. Therefore, we have agreed and resolved that some changes must be made. We feel that changes suggested are reasonable and fair. In general, all we are asking is the girls again become feminine in their thoughts, words, and deeds, because they should be different from the boys. We are tired of constantly being forced to look at girls' underwear. For example, skirts not long enough to cover underwear during such normal activities as sitting, stooping, reaching up, or running. We find girls draped in boys' or men's clothing unattractive and unfeminine. Many are wearing sailors' pea jackets, boys' shirts with tails hanging out, and sundry other items of male clothing. Wear your own clothes and let us wear ours." The proclamation continues, "We are concerned about the girls' choice of vocabulary in both spoken and written communication. We take a dim view of girls using both profane and obscene language in their conversations with each other and with us. We are concerned about the large number of girls whose general behavior is becoming increasingly unfeminine and boylike. Girls who greet us by pushing us, hitting us, pounding us on the back, chasing us, or mussing up our hair or clothing leave us absolutely cold." The proclamation went even further. It was published and sent around the school with the principal's blessing. All girls got a copy of the proclamation in homerooms on Friday. Soon after, they showed much improvement. I wonder what the young women might say today about the extreme fashions of what some of the young men wear. All silliness aside, both young men and young women have been taught from the Strength of Youth pamphlet, quote, "Your dress and grooming send messages about you to others and influence the way you and others act. When you are well-groomed and modestly dressed, you invite the companionship of the Spirit," end of quote. Modesty will lead you to better represent the Lord and influence others. More importantly, when you give virtuous attention to your dress and appearance, you obtain a divine measure of confidence and self-worth. Modesty is at the core of our character, Elder Robert D. Hales observed. Our clothing is more than just covering for our bodies. It reflects who we are and what we want to be, both here in mortality and in the eternities that will follow. Young men, instead of starting a Girl Watchers Club, why don't you try what Elder Richard G. Scott suggests, quote, "Those young women who do embrace conservative dress standards and exhibit the attributes of a devoted Latter-day Saint are often criticized for not being with it. Young men, encourage young women by expressing gratitude for their worthy example. Thank them for doing what is pleasing to the Lord and in time will bless their own husband and children. Many young women have returned to righteousness because of the example and understanding support of a worthy priesthood bearer. Perhaps a group of you could frankly discuss your concern in an appropriate setting, such as a Sunday school or seminary class. Will you begin a private crusade to help young women understand how precious they are to God and attractive to you as they magnify their feminine traits and divinely given attributes of womanhood. You might even help mold the character and devotion of your own future eternal companion. Close quote. Young men, to do this, it will be helpful for you to understand and believe what leaders have been stressing with the young women. Listen to General Young Women President Sister Elaine S. Dalton's direction on the kind of beauty young women should be striving for.
On that day, I was reminded of my divine identity, and I learned about what I now call deep beauty, the kind of beauty that shines from the inside out. It is the kind of beauty that cannot be painted on, surgically created, or purchased. It is the kind of beauty that doesn't wash off. It is spiritual attractiveness. Deep beauty springs from virtue. It is the beauty of being chaste and morally clean. It is the kind of beauty that you see in the eyes of virtuous women like your mother or grandmother. It is the beauty that is earned through faith, repentance, and honoring covenants. The world places so much emphasis on our physical attractiveness and would have you believe that you are to look like the elusive model on the cover of a magazine. The Lord would tell you that you are each uniquely beautiful. When you are virtuous, chaste, and morally clean, your inner beauty glows in your eyes and in your face.
Elder Holland also gives some advice on self-worth. And you young men, his counsel and point is for you as well.
I plead with you young women to please be more accepting of yourselves, including your body shape and style, with a little less longing to look like someone else. We are all different. Some are tall and some are short. Some are round and some are thin. And almost everyone at some time or other wants to be something they're not. But as one advisor to teenage girls said, you can't live your life worrying that the world is staring at you. They are not. And when you let people's opinions make you self-conscious, you give away your power. The key to feeling confident is to always listen to your inner self, the real you. And in the kingdom of God, the real you is more precious than rubies.
I hope all of us are coming to know and appreciate our Heavenly Father's divine nature. We can be partakers, as the Apostle Paul declared, of God's divine nature. As we rely upon the teachings and atonement of Jesus Christ, we can find strength and courage to keep the commandments and standards that will lead to eternal life. We can escape the corruption of the world as we courageously live the standards outlined in the For Strength of Youth pamphlet. They are, as Elder Tingey said, a privilege to keep. I conclude with Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. He beautifully conveys what God wants us all to remember.
Brothers and sisters, I testify that no one of us is less treasured or cherished of God than another. I testify that He loves each of us, insecurities, anxieties, self-image, and all. He doesn't measure our talents or our looks. He doesn't measure our professions or our possessions. He cheers on every runner, calling out that the race is against sin, not against each other. I know that if we will be faithful, there is a perfectly tailored robe of righteousness ready and waiting for everyone. Robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. May we encourage each other in our effort to win that prize, is my earnest prayer.
Now that is the dress and appearance I hope we obtain. Our very own perfectly tailored robe of righteousness, a robe obtained by faith in and obedience to Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When the temptations of ungodly image, attention, popularity, and trendsetting press down upon you, just remember that the race is against sin, not each other. A marvelous work and a wonder requires marvelous youth. Keep up the good work. I'm Ryan Jenkins, and you've been listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For a free download of this episode or to listen to Episode 4 of Youth Voices, a youth panel discussion on modesty, visit mormonchannel.org. To learn more about dress and appearance, visit youth.lds.org. Thanks for listening.